Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study. We appreciate your time very much. And on this holiday weekend, as it is, we hope that you will study the Bible in regard to the actual birth of Jesus and the good promises that were made by God the Father about Him and how that He offered His Son to be a Savior for the world. In John 3 at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but might have everlasting life." That hope for you and me is to believe in Him. And as we believe in Him, Jesus said, "If you believe in me, if you obey my commandments, then are you my disciples indeed." In John 8 at verse 31. Jesus also said, "If you love me, ye will keep my commandments." And the teaching of the Lord is not just for one season of the year, but for all seasons of the year. For every month and every day, let's keep His commandments and show that we truly love Him. Going back to the Old Testament book of Psalms, in Psalms chapter 80 and down at verse 12, "Why have ye broken down her hedges, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, ye beseech you, we beseech you, O God of hosts, and look down from heaven and see and visit this vine." Here is David giving a hope of prayer for the people of Israel, that they might be restored. What had they done? They had left the Lord for their own volitions, their own power, their own armies, their own way of doing things. And as a result, David here has a psalm of prayer. Beginning in verse number 7, he says, "Restore, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." The hope was that God Himself would re-enter the picture, re-enter the scene, and thus bring about the great hope that they had together. He continues this in Psalms, what we know as Psalms 81. And down at verse 12, notation is made about it. "But my people would not heed my voice," he said in verse 11. Psalm 81 and verse 11. "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels." Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. The Lord wants people to walk in His way. And in this particular regard, among the people of Israel, David voices this psalm. And they would sing it, no doubt, as they sang the psalms in the chants that they did, reminding themselves of what David has said for them to God. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel should walk in my ways. I will soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to Him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you," God said. He goes on to say in Psalm 82 at verse 1, "God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Flee them from the hand of the wicked." The Lord wants us to be people who follow His will and do His way. Even in the New Testament time, we read in regard to this matter, very similar words. Very similar words. The idea of the Lord wanting you and me to follow His way. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, it is said regarding this matter, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. And so he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, Zacchaeus, see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I have half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you find yourself today looking up and wondering about where your position is with the Lord, keep in mind that no matter what you have done and how far away you have gone, his words still stand for you today. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord cares about where we are and where we'll end up. And in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, he that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Notice that Jesus said his word would judge us in the last day. He noted in John 12 and at verse 49 that he did not speak his own words, that the words that he used were the words of the Heavenly Father given to him that he might proclaim to mankind. Thus Jesus is speaking about his word and the word of his Heavenly Father that men must accept and must practice if they would be saved from their sins. Jesus said that in great detail in the New Testament of our Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, particularly in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49. My friends, what's your relationship with God today? Is he still seeking for you? Is he still calling for you to come to him that he might save that which was lost? When we find our lives that way in life, we find the opportunity to be new people. We find an opportunity to come to the Lord in his righteous way. It is the case over in the book of John, in reference to John chapter 1, and down at verse 21, we find that Philip and Nathanael are being called by Jesus to come with him to Galilee. And it says there, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. You know, the prejudice of individuals as they live is based upon what others have said and what others have thought and what others have said around us. And if we find ourselves intervolved with that sort of thing in life, We'll often make decisions just on the basis of mankind. But if we make decisions on the basis of what the Lord has said and His people have said, we will do what He says here. Nathanael said, "Come and see." When Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see," Nathanael had his question to be answered. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A lot of tax collectors, we understand, were residents of the city of Nazareth, thus bringing criticism for that city in general, that they got along with the tax collectors of their day and time, and they must not be good people. Nothing good could come out of Nazareth. That was the thought in mind. But in this regard, when he would come and see, he came and he saw more than what he had ever thought he would. It is said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." It is noted that Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter ye shall see heaven again open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You're going to see great things, Nathanael, greater than you ever imagined to see. That's the closing verse of John chapter 1. Have you read it before? Are you people who have read it and recognized that when it was said to him, "Come and see," he immediately could see that Jesus knew who he was and where he was sitting when his brother Philip came to him and called him, "Let's go and see this Jesus who is from Nazareth." If he's from Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing? And yet, here it was. He knew all about him because he could see him at a distance. Can the Lord see you at a distance too? Well, of course he can. Can the Lord see you at a distance whether you read your Bible for understanding and for service of the Lord, or if you read your Bible just as a matter of course? If you read your Bible from the standpoint of the words that are said and the teachings that are given there, you can benefit from it. You can be a zealous person for the Lord and follow His righteous way. On the other hand, if you're an individual who finds yourself just simply reading a book because it is a book, it's hardly the Word of God. It's hardly a message to your heart and your life. If you understand it to be that, it's very all in likelihood you'll never see the real message of the Bible for you, particularly the New Testament time of Jesus Christ and His wonderful apostles. But if you find the word of the Lord and the word of His apostles to teach you, you will find a wonderful blessing from the Lord and His right way. Jesus said, "If you love me," John 14 and at verse 15, "if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, who that you may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come unto you." Jesus' solemn promise to them before his betrayal, ultimate crucifixion, and even his resurrection from the dead. Jesus was there to tell them, "If you keep me, my commandments, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, another helper the Holy Ghost himself would come to these apostles. And he would guide them and teach them what they needed to hear and what they needed to know. What about in your life today? Can you turn to the book of Acts and read about what the Holy Spirit said to them on that day and that occasion? Why, it was the Holy Spirit who was speaking through them. And when Simon Peter rose and spoke regarding this matter, he spoke regarding the word of the Lord. Listen to it there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 in this regard. The next day when he appeared to one of them, two of them, they were fighting and tried to reconcile them and said, "Men, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he who did this was his neighbor doing wrong." And he said to them, pushed him away and said, "Who made you to make a ruler over me? Do you not so want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" That's back in the days of Moses he's quoting. And thus this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire, in the bush, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and they drove near to observe. The voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared look. Then the Lord said unto him, "Take your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the presence, the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt." Moses was not one who thought that he was adequate to go to Egypt. I can't speak the words well enough, but God told him that his brother could. Aaron he would send with him, and your brother can speak these words. And these words will be understood by the people there in Egypt. And indeed that occurred. When you and I find this today, will we find the Word of God abiding in our hearts and lives? Will we find the Word of God abiding in our soul? That's the message from the Lord in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, in reference to it, we find it in chapter 7 also. The Bible teaches us that the early church prospered in a great way. In Acts chapter 9, we read, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, that he also came down to the sea, and the saints who dwelt at Lydda. And he found a certain man called Aeneas, who had come down and been bedridden 8 years, and was paralyzed. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus of the Christ heals you. Arise and make up your bed. Then he arose immediately, so that all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Wonderful blessings took place in that day and time when they didn't have the full written word that you and I have today. We ought to obey the Lord because we have fully the written word that's right in front of us, made available to us right and left, the opportunity to be God's people and follow His way. But they didn't have that at that time, and they had the spoken word of a servant of the Lord. And when he said, Jesus the Christ heals you, arise and make up your bed, he arose immediately. The people turned to the Lord because of what they saw at Lydda and Sharon. It is noted at Joppa, as we go on in Acts chapter 9, the following verses. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, and which is interpreted by the way of Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and that she died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples had heard, and Peter was there, and he had been told about it, and they imploring him that he should not delay to come down to them there in Joppa. And then Peter did that very thing. He arose, he went down to Joppa, and as he were enter there, he saw them weeping, showing the various goods and services that she had, garments and the like, that she had made for them while she was yet living, and how that those things encouraged them and kept them warm, and they were things that were beneficial to them, and they were appreciative of her, and yet they were sad now that she had died. Then Peter asked them to all leave out. He knelt down by the bed and he prayed. And nothing but good came from his mouth. And he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. So he gave her his hand and lifted her on up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive to them. And it was known throughout all of Joppa that many believed on him, on his Lord, because he emphasized the place of Jesus in this power that he now possessed and utilized. As a result of that, people were won. People were called to the Lord, and they did obey the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to read about these miraculous events taking place. One is prone to ask, why do we not see those kind of miraculous events today? And the Bible here tells us by very, very detail. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus said regarding this power that he possessed, that it would be shown that people may believe that he had come from the Father, that his message was of the Father's will. And the Father did not will this to continue on throughout all the ages of time, but rather that it be there well known that it was from him. In Mark chapter 2, in reference is made of that, Jesus said regarding the man who was there let down and he healed him, why do you have this doubt within you? Which is easier to say, he said, to say to the man or just to do for the man? Which is easier? It was obvious to say would be the easiest thing to do. But to actually command him to stand again and walk on his way home, why, this became miraculous power, and wonderful deeds were done because of that. But did that save people from sin? Or did that allow them to recognize the message that the apostles were teaching was the message of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, that they had rejected? The message was one that they could follow, one that they could practice in life, one that they could practice in a great way and thank the Lord for the hope that he had given them in the words that he had given to them, that they could understand his will and his way. This is a message of God. This is a message of the Lord. This is the message that they could understand, and they could practice that. When you and I today look back at that time and that event, and we do not see those same powerful, miraculous deeds continuing today. People claim to have that sometimes, but then again, there's no immediacy to it that the Bible speaks about these miracles taking place. No immediacy to them at all. But the idea of the God's Word being honored in our lives, following His will, recognizing His words to follow, that's the way in which we're to do. When Paul addressed Timothy about this and said, I want to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You'll notice that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in reference to this matter, verse 15 and following, you'll notice that he said, I want you to follow the words that the Lord has given to us. These words are the words that you can follow. And these words are the words that will help you to be free from the penalties of sin and the ways of sin in your heart and in your life. You can be a person who follows the way of God. And so can we all today. What a blessing it will be for us to follow the words of the Lord and decide His words and go back to His words and His way for us to follow. That's the teaching of the Lord for us today. And in this particular season and this time of the year, we talk about this season, particularly the season of the Lord, but more especially every season is the season of Christ Jesus the Lord. And in every season, if we follow His way and practice His way as we should, will we not be blessed by Him because we have followed His way? The Crockett Church of Christ brings you this broadcast. We're glad to have you with us this morning, and we thank you for looking up these verses that have been mentioned. You can hear this message again at CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. And these messages are found right there, and you can hear these verses again cited, and you can go to them and read them yourself in regard to what the Lord has said about His holy word and following His will and His way. We thank you for your time, and we wish you the very best as we face this new year of time. God bless you in every way for good. This is Robert Rawson for the Crockett Church of Christ.